Father, help us, we pray, as we gather together today, pondering something very familiar, that we would come to it afresh. Father, we pray that the words of your scriptures would take root in our hearts, would change our minds, would transform our lives. We pray most of all, Lord, this morning, that Jesus would be glorified in our midst as we ponder him and the cross. And so we commit our time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. For a lot of us, as we gather here today as Christians and as we gather as a church, the thought of Good Friday and the thought of the cross and communion, it's so familiar to most of us that we sometimes forget the shock factor. We're no longer shocked by what happened that very first Friday. I just think about it, that a man who is so powerfully accredited by God, remember that's what verse 22 said, powerfully accredited by God through miracles, wonders, and signs, such a man could be rejected and could be crucified. And so quite frankly, that first Good Friday is not what they expected, and yet it's exactly what happened. I remember the disciples had seen the miracles, they'd seen the wonders, they'd seen the signs. They were filled with hope, with expectation, and with anticipation. See, they believed that Jesus was the promised king. The Christ, the Messiah, are words that are used throughout the Old Testament. They thought that he was the one who was sent to rescue them from bondage and from oppression. They thought now was the time of freedom, of joy, of celebration. Instead, he was rejected and ridiculed by Israel. He was betrayed and abandoned by his disciples. He was arrested, flogged, and handed over by the religious authorities. He was humiliated. He was mocked. A crown of thorns was set on his head by the soldiers. And they dragged him up a hill. They nailed him to a cross, and they put him to death. They killed him. A darkness fell, and he breathed his last. It is finished. See, at that moment, the king is dead. The king is dead. And it seems all hope is gone. It seems death has won. We need to just feel the weight of that for a moment. I know we know the rest. I know we know what's coming. We know as we gather this morning that it didn't stay like that, but we need to feel that just for a moment. Of course, the good news is that within 72 hours, everything was different. The king is not dead. He's alive. The truth is, within 40 days, these fearful, frightened disciples had been completely transformed as the Spirit came upon them with power. And so as we gather today, we see that day with fresh eyes. We see it very differently today because we've got the wisdom of hindsight. And so for us, as we gather today, we don't see tragedy, we see triumph. We don't see the unexpected, we see the inevitable. We don't see an accident. We see everything according to plan. According to plan. That's the first thing I want us to notice as we look at Acts chapter 2 this morning. Will you notice that everything that is unfolding exactly according to plan? Have a look at verse 23. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge. God's set purpose. That is according to God's predetermined plan. And his foreknowledge is not just something that he knows. No, the word foreknowledge is actually his determination of events in advance. And so verse 23 speaks to us of God's sovereignty over all things, including Good Friday, including the cross, including the death of Jesus. And so what verse 23 highlights for us is one of the Bible's great paradoxes. the tension between divine sovereignty on the one hand and human responsibility on the other. And verse 23 reminds us that God's purpose and foreknowledge stands as the necessary factors behind everything that happens. And yet what happens occurs at the hands of wicked people expressing sinful choices. One commentator writes it this way. He says, "For God's eternal purposes, he sometimes permits unjust acts by men and women whom he decides not to restrain, even though he has the power to do so." And so Jesus did not die because God had lost control or was looking in the other direction. God was fully in control at all times. Now he chose not to restrain the actions of evil men so that his plan of redemption would be fulfilled. See, as we gather today, we need to remember that Jesus' death was exactly according to plan. God's plan. Wicked men may have been the instruments, but God was the conductor. I had the great joy of going to a concert earlier this week. My wife is still trying to get culture in me. We went to the concert. It was wonderful. There were all these oaks sitting on the stage playing things. It's not a fiddle, it's a violin. Apparently in an orchestra, it's a violin and a cello. They were all playing these instruments. So there they were, all doing their own thing. And you know what they all had to do? They all had to listen to the conductor. They might have done their thing musically. They might have done their thing playing their musical instrument. But they did exactly what the conductor told them to do. And so John Piper writes, he says, "People lift their hand to rebel against the most holy, only to find their rebellion is actually unwitting service in God's wonderful designs. Even our sin cannot frustrate the purposes of God." Now, our God is a sovereign God. And nothing happens in this world without his say-so. And so through Jesus' death, as tragic as it is, as sad as it is, as overwhelming as it is, see, it's there that we see God's saving purpose being worked out. And so as we gather this morning, we gather remembering that the death was no accident. The cross wasn't something that catches God by surprise. Oh, how did that happen? No, that's not what's happening on that first Good Friday. God isn't surprised by that. God isn't horrified by that. It's something that he had planned and purposed. It's in putting Jesus to death, the authorities were simply fulfilling what God had already determined must take place to bring salvation into the world, and in fact even had foretold throughout the Old Testament. Now to be clear, that doesn't mitigate their crime. Doesn't mitigate their crime. They did what they did of their own free will and are entirely responsible for their actions. But God uses those wicked actions to fulfill his plans and purposes from the beginning of time. See, just so you know, the moment you read in Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 where God says, "Let there be light," from that moment, he had already planned to establish a redeemed people through the sacrifice of Jesus thousands of years later. It was not an accident. It was according to plan. And so as we sit here this morning, what we want to make sure as we remember today, as we ponder today, is we want to make sure that all the glory goes to God alone. We want the glory to go to God. See, when we understand this about the cross and everything that's secured through it, the one we want to give credit to, the one we want to honor and glorify, the one we want to praise is God and God alone. See, the plan of salvation was from start to finish according to God's set purpose and foreknowledge. And so I want to ask you this morning one of those thinking questions. I know it's horrible to do that on a public holiday, forgive me. But I want to ask you this morning, is your theology such, is your understanding such that when you look at the cross, what you actually see is the sovereignty of God? I know there's lots of other things we can see. We'll talk about some of them in just a moment. But I wonder when you look at the cross, when you think of that first Good Friday, do you actually see the sovereignty of God? Do you see this happening according to his word and his will? Do you see him behind everything. Because if we do, then here's what we'll do this Good Friday. We will stand in awe and we will marvel at our great God. And not just stand in awe and marvel, but we will wonder at his purposes and his plans, and we will stand convicted afresh by his mercy and his grace. See, God's purpose from the very beginning was to save the world through Jesus, which means the death of Jesus actually has a purpose. I want you to notice that's the second thing from verse 23 this morning. And not just that it's all according to plan, I want you to notice that it has an atoning purpose. An atoning purpose. Remember the word atoning? Means at one, making at one, bringing together, reconciling, redeeming. Look at verse 23. And you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. See, it's worth saying that the cross isn't about what wicked men thought they were doing to Jesus. That's not actually what it's about. No, it's all about what God is doing as they did that. And so when we come to the cross, we come to a cross about salvation. We come to a cross about sacrifice. And so we need to remember that as Jesus is nailed to the cross that very first Good Friday, he dies there as an atoning sacrifice. He dies as a ransom for those held captive by sin. He dies as a payment to redeem those in debt. See, the cross wasn't just a piece of wood or an instrument of death. No, the cross is an altar, a place of atonement. And so by nailing him to the cross, they take his life. But by going to the cross willingly, Jesus sacrifices his life. And at the cross, God buys life. Your life and my life. See, remember, the wages of sin are death. Well, at the cross, Jesus pays the wage. He's put to death according to God's set purpose as an atoning sacrifice. For you and for me. And so as we gather this morning, as we think about this sacrifice, as we think about what we have gained through Jesus going to the cross, I want us to be very clear today that it comes at a great cost. It comes at a great cost. So often when Christians talk about the cross, when we talk about God's grace, how do we describe those things? How do we describe God's grace? We so often describe it as God's undeserved divine favor, which is right. It is that. We so often describe salvation as God's free gift to us through Jesus. And I want us to be clear, let's make no mistake this morning. It is that. It is all about God's grace. It is all about God's divine favor to us. It is God's free gift of salvation. But we must be careful this morning not to make the mistake of thinking that just because it's free to us, doesn't make it free. Just because it's free to us doesn't make it free. You see, our free gift of salvation comes at a great cost. Our children are at university stage. I sat down with them towards the end of last year. I said to them, "So tell me, how are you financing your studies?" I'm that kind of father, yes. Because they just assume that education is free. But any parent sitting here this morning understands that education might be free for the child, but it's not free for the parent. It's not free, is it? See, that's why when we say we want free education, there is no such thing. Someone has to pay. There is no such thing as free salvation. Someone has to pay. Last year when we took the young people through confirmation, we talked to them about grace. And we speak about grace regularly because we want to talk about the cross and we want to talk about God's salvation. But one of the things we do is we give them the acronym of grace. And I'm sure many of you here will have heard it. It's worth remembering though. Do you know the acronym for grace? Does anybody know it? God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches to us, salvation, at Christ's expense. He is the atoning sacrifice. You see, for a debt to be settled, someone has to pay it. And the good news of that first Good Friday is it's not you. Jesus pays the debt for your sin and for my sin. He lays down his life so we can escape judgment. And so we must remember this morning that grace, as wonderful as it is not cheap. Grace is not cheap, and salvation is not free. It cost the Father his Son, and it cost the Son his life. And so can I remind you this morning, in our familiarity, in a moment we'll come to the Lord's table to remember this. And can I plead with you, don't treat the cross with indifference. Don't treat the cross with expectation. And most of all, don't treat it with entitlement. This is not about you. This is about his grace. God's riches to you at Christ's expense. Salvation is a gift. It's an expensive gift, and we should treat it appropriately. And so this morning, as we remember Good Friday, our hearts should actually be overwhelming with deep gratitude. Gratitude to the Father who planned it, and gratitude to the Son who died for it. And so can I ask you again, this isn't so much a thinking question, this is a feeling question. Can I ask you this morning, as you think of the cross just now, is the feeling that comes up inside of you one of gratitude, one of thanksgiving, an understanding that it's been all of him and none of you, and that you did not have to pay for your salvation because Christ did. The wages of sin have been met. Does that stir in you an overwhelming desire to say thank you to God, to live a life of gratitude and thanksgiving? Of course, as Jesus died on the cross, that was not the end. It was not the end. And so it's the third thing I want us to look at briefly from this verse, verse 23, going into verse 24. Will you notice that this is an acceptable payment? It's an acceptable payment. God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to hold him. Now, don't be fooled, even though I'm looking at verse 24 today. Come back on Sunday, because on Sunday we'll go into it in much more detail. But it is important to say today that Jesus' death defeated death. Let me say that again. Jesus' death defeated death. Now think about it. When the bill is paid, there's no longer any claim. And when the debt is settled, there's no longer anything owed. And so when the wages of sin are met, death no longer has claim over you, and certainly doesn't have claim over Jesus. Indeed, when the captive is ransomed, when the debt is paid, it is impossible for death to keep its hold. Isn't that good news for us today? It's impossible for death to keep its hold. And so God raised Jesus from the dead. God shows us in the resurrection that Jesus' sacrifice is accepted as payment in full. The resurrection is not just the ultimate accreditation of Jesus' identity. No, it is the complete vindication of his work. It's evidence today that payment has been accepted. That's why we can meet today. That's why we have hope today. You see, through Jesus' death and resurrection, God provides salvation. This is not my first brunch at Southern Cross Church today. And so you will notice that when I say amen, I'm going to get out there quickly. Because I know how it works. You see, I know that if you snooze, you don't get any of those little Snickers sweets, because they're all gone. And I know there were only 16 pieces of brownie in the tray, and there's way more of us here. See, I know that. And so you will see Luke Giles move at a speed you don't often see him move at the end of the service. See, here's what we understand. When something is good on offer, what do you want to do? You want to grab it. You want to grab hold of it. You want to claim it for yourself. You want to enjoy it and receive it. Well, just think about what we're saying this Good Friday. We're saying that through the plans of God, through the atoning sacrifice of the Son, we have salvation available. The debt is paid. Life is given. It's ours. Why would we not grab that? Why would we not jump at that with both hands? If I had to say to you today, I can secure your future for all eternity. I can guarantee you eternal wealth and well-being. I can guarantee you an inheritance that will not ever perish, spoil, or fade. I can guarantee that you will sit in glory for all eternity. not take that? Now, of course, there's some cynics here saying, oh, what's the catch? See, here's the catch. You've got to grab hold of Jesus. You've got to grab hold of that. That's it. See, Jesus didn't just die to pay a debt. No, he died to secure a future. He died for our eternity. See, the good news of the gospel is that just as death could not keep its hold on him, death will not keep its hold on you if today you've grabbed hold of Jesus. If Jesus is yours today, then you will be with him for all eternity. When we join with him, we have the hope of everything he has secured. That's why, just in verse 21, Peter's already said to us, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It's yours. It's yours. Maybe you're here today as a visitor. Maybe you've come with a family member. Maybe you've come with friends. However you've got here, can I just be crystal clear for you? It's the best day. And not because of the brunch we're going to have just now. It's the best day because today we're talking, as we often do here, we're talking about the gift of salvation. We're talking about what Jesus' death and resurrection has secured for you. We've got the best news for you. Salvation is available. And so this morning I want to encourage you, if you haven't, to call on the name of the Lord, to call on Jesus, and to be saved. To turn to him in repentance for your sin. See, when Delian spoke earlier, she reminded us, we do things we shouldn't do. And not just to each other, to God. Even in our best days, we're sinners. Even in our best days, we don't live the way we should. And so we need to acknowledge that, and we need to repent of that. We need to receive the work that Jesus did for us on the cross with gratitude and thankfulness. And we need to grab hold of what he's provided. We need to trust him for our forgiveness, for our salvation, for our eternal life. And so this morning, can I ask you, have you done that? I asked you to think, and I asked you to feel. And as I finish, I want to ask you to act. Do something. And make sure today you've grabbed hold of Christ. And I know that some of you have already done that. You're saying, oh, Luke, didn't you see us when we were here last week? We've done that. Can I say to you, don't let go. Don't let go. You grab hold of Christ and you keep holding. You never let him go because he is your forgiveness. He is your salvation. He is your life. Jesus of Nazareth died on the cross in accordance with God's set purposes so you and I can receive life. Let's pray.